Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. My colleague, Ariana Pelosi, spoke with Dr. Terrence Seo from Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, Arizona, about modern treatment advancements in the radiation oncology field for patients with non-small cell lung cancer. Beyond current systemic therapy options that often prompt multidisciplinary collaboration with colleagues in medical and surgical oncology, he detailed the possible advantages proton beam radiotherapy may offer compared with standard radiation.
Can you discuss the current treatment paradigms for managing locally advanced stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer?
Just to get started with, lung cancer is still a major problem in our country. And we diagnose about 230,000 cases in the United States every year. And among them, about 30 to 40% of the newly diagnosed patients will have locally advanced cancer that often involve a bigger primary tumor in either the left or the right lung, and then also with lymph nodes and other involvement that are nearby. That makes the therapies and the treatments more difficult to have just one modality or one treatment method for helping them. So with the remaining of the discussions that I have with you today, I wanted to be able to help, highlight just the importance of working with our medical oncologists and also our surgeons and the radiation oncologists for helping with managing our patients with stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer. And the current treatment paradigms for dealing with locally advanced disease largely would need to involve at least two treatment modalities. And the current methods for helping with our patient with lung cancer would involve surgery, systemic therapy, including chemotherapy, targeted therapy, and immunotherapy. And then I'll speak more, too, about the latest advances that we may have in radiation therapy space.
Perfect. That was a great introduction. So what are some of the current methods for treating non-small cell lung cancer?
Yep. So in terms of systemic therapy, meaning therapies that are usually introduced by mouth or through the vein, these are treatments and drugs and molecules that will go through the entire body. And there is a lot of very good biology that are now being used for helping our patients and getting targeted with their cancer. And these are very specific treatments that may involve these targets such as EGFR or KRAS mutations. There are now also new advances and in the horizon with combining immunotherapy too. And for every tumor nowadays with patients that have newly diagnosed non-small cell lung cancer, we would always test a marker called PD-L1 expression or program death ligand 1 testing. And to better tell us in terms of a percentage being less than 10% or 11 to 49% or 50% or greater, how our patients may fall into one of these categories to see how responsive they may be if immunotherapy is offered and often recommended by a medical oncologist. And these medications and how the treatments are needed and to be used for our patients to make a difference in terms of the decisions that we may make as a radiation oncologist for our lung cancer patients, because depending on how big the tumor may be and the amount of lung and heart tissues that will be exposed to radiation therapy, it is important to balance the risk, how likely a injury or like a pneumonia or what we call a radiation-induced pneumonitis may happen in this setting. So it is very important that a multidisciplinary treatment and consultation with our surgeons and also our medical oncologists are very important. And at our institutions, tumor boards are being held at regular intervals weekly. And there are a lot of cross-disciplinary discussions too among different doctors, and to make sure that we are providing the best method for helping our patients that will very likely needing more than one treatment or one doctor's care if they have a stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer situations.
So you may have touched upon this in your previous answer, but what are some of the current radiation therapy treatments for lung cancer?
Mm-hmm. So it's important to recognize that we are separating the lung cancer patients into two different groups. So we are mainly talking about the non-small cell lung cancer, which is still about 70 to 75% of all the new diagnosis. And then there are another 25% of our patients that may be diagnosed with small cell lung cancer that will also use radiotherapy treatments. And sometimes they are even given twice daily radiation treatment because small cell lung cancer may sometimes be appearing more aggressive than non-small cell lung cancer. But back to the more common type with non-small cell lung cancers, the case numbers are dropping steadily as our country and, you know, like the generations that may have more smoking have come down, and at least in developed country like us in the United States. However, what we're seeing is that there are more Asian population and also patients that have entirely lifelong non-smoking status, haven't really been exposed to cigarettes or not even having secondhand smoking exposure, that could be diagnosed with non-small cell lung cancer and often at a younger stage to age 2. And those patients, we need to be more meticulous and to be thinking about how to combine often targeted therapy, such as EGFR inhibitors, and also how the radiation sequencing and the questions may be coming in, thinking about what to do for them in various scenarios. And in terms of radiation therapy treatments, we have regular conventional radiation therapy treatments, and these are energies and ionizing radiation wavelengths that are very similar to, for example, getting a chest x-ray or a CT scan for diagnostic purposes. What is different is that we have linear accelerators that can concentrate the radiation energy to about 200 times more than what we are dealing with in the diagnostic range for power, so that we can adequately introduce to one part of the patient's body and making sure that we are annihilating the double-stranded DNA structure within the cancer cells. And these are often treatments that are happening over a multiple number of weeks, so that we can repeatedly be exposing the tumor cells to these ionizing X-ray energies and eventually, hopefully, achieving a remission and maybe even have the cancer be killed and don't come back again. So that is the conventional X-ray methods. And we'll be spending some time too talking about some of the latest advances, for example, with charged particle beam therapies, such as proton radiotherapy. So we'll be talking about that.
So after conventional, I guess, radiation therapy, what are some adverse effects that can be experienced from that?
So typically for stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer patients, and the first thing that we do in the clinic after working up the patient with adequate imaging and evaluation and also obtaining a full pulmonary function test to look at the lung functions and capacity, how much our patients are able to breathe in and out with the air, then we have very good medical literature to make sure and combine and predict whether the patient is a candidate for surgery. And we also need to obtain an MRI of the brain too, to make sure the tumors haven't traveled to the head. And if there are tumors in the head, we would need targeted therapy and also with, for example, stereotactic radiosurgery methods for helping them to control the cancer in the brain. But back to the situation that if a patient may be more frail, or if the patient cannot be undergoing a surgery for removing their cancers, then the standard of care and often a lot of the situations that we have with a later stage 2 or stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer is to offer the patients up to 6 weeks, and some centers 2 to 6 weeks and a half of radiation therapy with conventional X-ray methods, and to combine that with chemotherapy, often with two medications called carboplatin and also paclitaxel that is given weekly for the doublet combo, and to have the radiation being given Monday through Friday, about an hour of their time every day for up to 6 weeks. And that is a total of 30 treatments and X-rays that we are giving for the patients, often with larger tumors in the lung, and to be able to help them with an attempt to cure the non-small cell lung cancer. The side effects of radiation therapy treatments will accumulate, and oftentimes our patients may feel better during week ones and two and three therapy. But when starting with week four and five and six, then they may have more side effects that could happen in their body as a result of repeated radiation exposures. And these are analogous to be thinking about, for example, going to outside to a garden or a beach, and to have sunlight being exposed to part of our body and skin every day. And eventually it will catch up, and the side effects from the radiation burning, like that we can feel from within the body, but actually it is related to not just the radiation hurting the tumor cells, but also hurting the normal cells. And with lung cancer treatment, that effect could happen more internally. But nevertheless, the patients can still experience fatigue. They can have skin side effects and exposures to where the radiation beams are coming through. Say, for example, if the patient has a cancer that is closer to the right upper lung area, then this part of the body may develop a sunburn, sometimes even a rash. In terms of lung injuries, the patient may get more short of breath during the treatment. And then the radiation can also irritate the esophagus that is coming through the radiation field or the eating pipe. And often that will manifest as more difficulty with drinking water, or liquid. And then, for example, if they are swallowing food, they may feel the tension and also the pain as the food is passing through areas that has been affected by radiation more acutely. And those are things that we have medications to help, and mouthwash, and sometimes may require opiate medications to help with the pain. But hopefully that is temporary and it will go away after the radiation treatment. Some of the more long-term side effects that we need to be worried about with radiation therapy treatment is that the radiation could be hurting the nerve that is coming through the neck to the arm, which is the brachial plexus. And then also be thinking about radiation therapy side effects that are coming through the lungs and causing a pneumonia or radiation pneumonitis. And also with the radiation irritating and hurting the membrane that is surrounding the heart, which is what we call a pericarditis event. And that is more rare. And also be thinking about radiation can be passing through the heart. And sometimes it is not as immediately be noticing that there are side effects that we can catch, like during radiation therapy for the heart side effects, but can be more long term. That can still manifest and happen in a few months or in a year or 3 or even longer. And that, could have an increase, for example, with valvular heart disease, could cause irregular heartbeats, such as arrhythmia that is happening in the heart. And then also the radiation can change the coronary vessels and the tubes that are carrying the blood. And that could in turn be affecting the heart functions and could potentially increase the chance of heart attack or a myocardial infarction down the road. And oftentimes those are side effects that in the past we may not be as aware, like for capturing and understanding it. But then now with, for example, a monitoring device And there are studies with cardiac studies and nuclear medicine imaging that we are noticing that there are more side effects that could happen with radiation therapy and long-term side effects with the heart that we are just beginning to be understanding. And finally, radiation side effects could also happen with the ribs and soft tissues, and also with the spinal cord in the back with radiation treatments. So these are side effects that we could anticipate from radiation therapy, and then also different side effects that we could have when interacting with chemotherapy that is given together, which is concurrent chemotherapy. And then also with durvalumab or immunotherapy that could be given too after the end of chemotherapy and radiation. So it's very important that our patients be talking to all their physicians and providers and have a very clear picture of what they may receive and can expect potentially with side effects from their lung cancer treatments.
So I know you previously alluded to proton therapy, but are there any other latest technological advances in radiation oncology that you'd like to touch upon?
That is a wonderful question. So we'll spend some time too and talking about proton beam therapy. And that has a lot of wealth, you know, like and breadth of knowledge. That is as the technology has been maturing a lot in the past 10 years, for example, with scanning beam technologies. But in general, with lung cancer treatment, we are also focusing on different technological advances too, and with different radiation therapy centers that are being more adapted. For example, during the radiation therapy planning sections with CT simulation, with a computer tomography scan, nowadays we are able to help record just how the tumor may be moving during the breathing cycle. And that is important as we are designing the radiation field and how accurate the radiation may be shining upon the tumors during the 6 weeks progressed. We are also, with multiple centers, be doing more adaptive planning too, meaning that we are also looking at the patient's response for the tumor during the 6 weeks of radiation therapy. For example, we may be getting another scan during week three or week four of radiation therapy and to be planning new radiation treatment targets to see if the tumor may have shrunken. Then we can confine and design a smaller radiation field for that. It is important to employ the very good IGRT method, which is image-guided radiotherapy methods. So, for example, with daily cone beam CT, that we can do a mini CT for the patients on the radiation machine table every day, and to be making sure that we are matching the radiation field very accurately towards the tumor, and so that we can align the differences with the radiation field to where the tumor is being located and targeted. So that I think will result in a better chance of helping our patients get the tumor cure as well. So everything is about precision in radiation oncology.
Great, great. And then finally, can you just briefly discuss your experience of treating patients with lung cancer with proton beam therapy? And then maybe if there are any results or how you view the results as compared to other radiation treatments?
Thank you very much. So, in the United States, we have about 40 to 50 some centers and more are building too. That for lung cancer patients that may be receiving proton beam radiotherapy, but often, you know, like our patients would need to reach out, you know, like and have a different opinion at centers that may have proton beam therapy capabilities. And in terms of proton beam therapies, and it is more limited and not as readily as available. And it is because some of these cancer centers that are building proton beam radiotherapy would need to cost tens of millions of dollars and maybe even in the low hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to have these very big cyclotron or synchrotron machines that we can use for offering this therapy for lung cancer patients. And oftentimes, it is actually more difficult to treat lung cancer targets with protons because it is moving. And there is a lot of medical physics and knowledge that is coming with it that we have finally be, you know, like more maturizing, more maturing as the technologies are getting more towards perfection. And now we have been able to offer this technology routinely to our patients. The biggest advantage of proton beam radiotherapy is that the radiation beam will enter one side of the body, hit the tumor, but there is no exit radiation at all beyond where the tumor was treated by the proton beam radiotherapy. And that means I can decrease the side effects to the other side of the lung, to the remaining of the same lung. And oftentimes we have benefits in decreasing the amount of radiation therapy that is going to shoot through the heart or the esophagus with regular radiation therapy. For conventional radiotherapy, it is often needed to have more beams and different angles to focus and shine in the same tumor and target. And the radiation beam cannot stop with X-ray. So meaning that with the lung cancer being the target and with radiation coming in from one side, it still has to treat the tumor and make sure that we're killing the tumor. But the radiation therapy and the beams inevitably have to exit from the other side, and that is where it has the potential of hitting more normal tissues and potentially causing more side effects. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to share this knowledge. And there has been multiple publications, and also with more evidence building too, showing the benefit of proton beam radiotherapy, and we are seeing more insurers covering proton beam radiotherapy for lung cancers. We are acknowledging that the randomized study for lung cancer with proton and regular radiation beam therapy from NRG are still maturing with the data and to be reported. But we have multiple institutional data, and including phase two randomized data too, that are published by my mentor, Dr. Yongxin Liao from MD Anderson, and also with our own series that have been published from Mayo Clinic Arizona and also Mayo Clinic Minnesota, that we have now very good data in proton beam radiotherapy for showing that the treatments can work really well and they can combine well with chemotherapy and immunotherapy. And importantly, I think there's a very strong role of proton beam therapy for our patients that may already not have the best lung functions because of past experience with smoking, or with our patients that may have more comorbidities and other diseases, or they may have heart attack before, or they may be older and more frail. We have noticed that even with patients that have bigger tumors in the lungs, but if we can get a very nice proton beam radiotherapy plan, we can actually help them to go through the treatments better with less side effects, or just about the same amount of side effects that we are otherwise giving healthier patients with regular radiations. But then they may be having more normal tissues that are exposed for, you know, like lung tissues and heart tissues. But I think we can actually be helping some of the patients otherwise that may not be able to stand as intensive of a method with combining radiation and chemotherapy for their lung cancer treatments. So that is where right now we have shown that proton has a role in lung cancer treatments. And we are expecting and we are looking forward to getting more patients treated too, and also seeing how they may combine with the new therapies and lung cancer treatments that are happening in the medical oncology space and happening with our cardiothoracic surgery colleague space with doing more minimally invasive therapy and surgery treatment. We're looking at seeing if there's a group of patients after surgery that may need radiotherapy treatments afterwards. And giving them proton beam radiotherapy may be a good idea too for helping with them for these kind of situations. And that is also including some of our patients with mesothelioma and thymoma, that may also require radiotherapy treatments. So I think the future and the landscape for proton beam radiotherapy is very bright. And we are seeking newer technologies and methods for advancing and seeing how it may combine with different kind of therapies and treatments too systemically, meaning chemotherapy or targeted therapies. But I think, you know, like if we were to do this discussion, say in about a year or two, and I think we'll even have more data and treatments that we can discuss further too, and seeing how we can help this group of patients that have locally advanced lung cancer. So thank you very much for your time for discussing.
No, thank you so much. It was a great discussion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.